Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 19th chapter, 23rd verse. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would request Suresh Shyam Prabhu to give a brief introduction on Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Yeah, here is a short introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji is a brahmachari devotee connected to ISKCON Chowpatty. Prabhuji completed his engineering in metallurgical engineering from NIT Trichinopoly in the year 2002. Thereafter, Prabhuji joined a Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in metallurgical science in 2007. While at Pennsylvania State University, he took up to Krishna consciousness as a member of Penn State Vedic Society. While at Penn State, he was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhuji. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Mandir. In the year 2010, after his brahmachari training, he moved to Govardhan Eco Village and served full-time till year 2021. He is currently in Chennai assisting his aged parents. He is an extremely erudite scholar of the Vaishnava scriptures and he travels far and wide teaching these books. He is also currently engaged in training many of these books online also. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna Mataji, Tandavat Pranam, back to you Mataji.
Hare Krishna Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu, thank you so much for that introduction. Hare Krishna Balaram Shakti Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable time and association this morning. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over the call Prabhu. He bol.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you very much Mataji for giving this opportunity. So today we will discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just share the screen. I'll just chant the invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Vale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you again very much for giving me this opportunity to share from Srimad Bhagavatam. I feel very privileged to address this group of very sincere devotees. So let's start. So today we will be discussing from verse number 23 from the 19th chapter of 5th canto. So currently we are discussing the theme where the devatas are glorifying the opportunity for a human birth in Bharata Varsha. They are basically mentioning that they can trade anything away to get actually a birth in Bharata Varsha. So let's read the verse translation and purport, and then we'll see what we can learn from today. So I'll chant the verse and then we'll see the meaning. Kalpayusham stana jayat punarbhavat kshanayusham bharata bhujayo varam kshanena martyena kritam manasvinah Sanyasya samyantya bayam padam hare. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation. A short life in the land of Bharat Varsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharata Varsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection. Even in this short life, by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, Thus, one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Well, this seems like a exaggeration in one sense, definitely, because you do see the first thing is which Bharata Varsha is being spoken about here. Is this India? From Prabhupada's purports, it seems to suggest, he's suggesting like that, but definitely the Bharata Varsha that is being mentioned here is the greater Bharata Varsha, because that is the discussion in, because definitely geographically, you know, 5,000 years back, you know, what is currently called as India or Bharat was certainly not Bharata Varsha, or even, you know, if you say Bharata Khanda. So, and this seems like a hyperbole, because certainly you do not see people taking birth in Bharata Varsha, wholesale taking up to Krishna consciousness or bhakti. So we need to understand this, and we will try to understand this. But before that, we will just read the purport, and then we will go further. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janma Yaar Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Paraupakar. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharat Varsha has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. This is a generic explanation of this verse by Srila Prabhupada. Now, again, there are a lot of themes that we could discuss today, but I will stick to one particular theme, which I will reveal very soon. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Manmana bhava mad bhakto yaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer me obeisances. This is very easy even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mameti so Arjuna. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharata Varsha. Well, then he says, one who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. Well, there are so many themes that we could discuss from this purport and this section actually. So, let's quickly discuss, you know, from the 21st verse onwards, the devatas have been glorifying birth in Bharata Varsha, human birth in Bharata Varsha. Let's see what they have told till now. So, etat eva hi deva gayanti. So, the devatas have been glorifying. Aho amisham ki makari shobanam prasanna esham svidhuta swayam harihi yair janma labdham drishu bharata jire mukunda seva upayikam sprahahinah. So they say, aho amisham kim akari shobanam, what pious acts did these residents perform? Prasanna esham svidhuta swayam harihi. Was the Lord simply pleased with them? Because they understood that it is not possible just by pious activities to get such a glorious birth, a glorious opportunity to take birth in Bharata Varsha. Maybe the Supreme Lord is inspired to give these people some special mercy. That is what they are thinking. Yair Nrishu Janmashu, Yair Nrishu Janma Labdham, by which they attained a birth, Mukunda Seva Upayikam, which is suitable for service to Mukunda, Bharata Jire, in the area of Bharata. Spruhahinaha, whereas we can only desire this but not attain it. So they say that, oh, we have a desire to take birth in Bharata Varsha, because in Bharata Varsha, there is so much opportunity to worship Lord Mukunda. So much opportunity is not there in the other planetary systems. Why not in Swarga? They say, Himdushkarairna kratubistapo vratair dana divirvadyujayena palguna nayatranarayana pada pankaja smriti pramushtati shayendriyotsavar. Kim dushkarair naha kratubihi? What is the use of our performing difficult sacrifices? Tapo vrataihi? What is the use of performing vows of austerity? Dana divir and acts of charity on earth. Dyujayena falguna, or attaining transient residence in heaven. What is the problem with heaven? Na yatra narayana pada pankaja smritihi, where there is no remembrance of the lotus feet of Narayana. Well, this has to be examined. This statement has to be examined. How to take this statement? But of course, we will not do that. And they give the reason. Pramushta atishaya indriya utsavat, where the memory is carried away by excessive enjoyment of the senses. It's not very conducive. But even in Bharata Varsha, in today's day and age, this is the age of, you can say, you know, weapons of mass distraction, right? So this Atishaya Indriya Utsavat is happening here also. But somehow they are finding this Bharata Varsha, birth in Bharata Varsha, to be so glorious. And in this particular verse, they say that Kalpayusham Sthanajayat Punarbhavat Kshanayusham Bharata Bhujayo Varam Kshanena Martyena Kritam Manasvinaha Sanyasya Samyantya Padam Hare Kshanayusham Bharata Bhujayo. A moment's stay in Bharata Varam is certainly glorious. Kalpayusham Sthanajayat than living for a Kalpa on Brahmaloka. Why? Punarbhavat. Since on Brahmaloka one must take birth again, then what about Bharata Varsha? One does not take birth again. Manasvinaha, those who fix their minds on the Lord in Bharata Varsha, Martyena, in a body subject to death, Kritam Sanyasya, on giving up all pious and impious acts, Shanena, very quickly, Samyanti, they attain Abhayam Padam Harehe, that fearless destination belonging to Lord Hari, which is Vaikuntha. Right? So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, commenting on this verse, he says, Bharata is more attractive than even Brahmaloka. A moment's residence in Bharata is better than a lifetime of two Parardhas on Brahmaloka, because on Brahmaloka, one is again reborn. I mean, is it only in Brahmaloka? Living so long at place makes one take birth again. Those who have fixed their minds on the lotus feet of the Lord for a moment in a body subject to death in Bharata, placing their feet on the top of Brahmaloka, attain Vaikuntha, giving up all pious and sinful acts. So, they say that in Bharata Varsha you get a birth, you can quickly attain Vaikuntha. But after fixing their minds on the lotus feet of the Lord, but as I mentioned, there are so many different topics that we could discuss on this theme. But I will focus on one theme, which is very foundational theme, which we all need to understand, which is connected to this. If life in Bharatavarsha is so glorious, then why is it that only very few accept the path of bhakti even in Bharatavarsha? We will not here discuss which Bharatavarsha is being spoken about, whether it is India, what is called in as today's India, or or whatever may be that Bharatavarsha, but we do see whatever may be that Bharatavarsha that is being spoken about, we are living there. Whether it is India, and most of you have seen India, you have been in India, you have taken birth in India, whatever. Right? But even in India, let's say, for example, you don't see most people practicing bhakti actually. So, let us try to discuss this theme of how does one receive the seed of devotion? When and how one becomes a devotee? We are going to research on this topic now. We are not going to research as such, but not we are going to try to understand. We are going to churn this topic. How does one become a devotee? And when does one become a devotee? Okay. So we will discuss this theme today. I will keep it interactive. I may not leave time for a discussion towards the end. But in between, I will pause for some discussion. And I request you to please keep your chat box open for those of you who wish to answer through your chat box. And for those who wish to speak up, which I prefer, you can please raise your hands. I will unmute you and you can all speak. Right? Or you can unmute yourselves also. Or better, I will only unmute. I will take that option away. Otherwise, multiple people may unmute and speak. So that's how we will do. I will pause in between and you please let's involve ourselves in a conversation in between only, because towards the end we may not have time. And the nature of the topic is such that we will have to have discussions in between. Okay. So we will try to understand this topic of how does one become a devotee? How did we become devotees? We are going to understand this. This is very important because ours is a preaching moment, right? Prabhupada, preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Purity is the force. Utility is the principle. So preaching is the essence. So we are a preaching mission. So we should know how does one become a devotee? This is a very critical topic. So we will discuss this topic today because the devatas are envious of residents of Bharatavarsha. Not because, this will become little clear in the future verses, not because everyone is a devotee, but there is a good opportunity. The ambience and the the situation is very conducive for taking up the devotional service if the most important thing, if one has received the seed of devotion. This is the most important point. So otherwise, the point is none of these glorification by the devatas seem really clear to us, you know, because most people are not practicing any kind of devotional service. So we are definitely a minority here, right? We are not even fit to be called as minorities, because even minorities need to have some majority, some number. We may not even have that kind of number to qualify ourselves as being minorities. And the devatas are looking at us and our this Bharatavarsha and telling, oh, there is so much ample this is the best place to practice bhakti. But we don't see this at all. Most people are not accepting bhakti. Why? Why is it that only some people are accepting bhakti? And how does one really get bhakti? And what does it mean to get bhakti? So we are going to discuss how does one receive the seed. But in trying to understand that, we should understand what is this seed? What exactly is this seed? What are we receiving? How are we receiving? Are we earning or are we receiving? This is something that we need to understand. So, I request devotees to please go through this whole presentation. Please stay, because we will understand the conclusion only towards the end. So if you leave in between, you will not understand much. I mean, you will, but you will have to hear the record again. So let's start. So now, when it comes to talk to bhakti's descent in the heart of a sadhaka or in the heart of a living being, there are three things that are mentioned in the shastras. Two things in the shastras. One is practically that we see. One is the shastras describe bhakti to be ahaituki. We will see what it means. Okay. The shastras also, when talking about how bhakti descends, it says yadrichaya. So we will also see what it means, yadrichaya. And then the third thing that we see is some people receive it and some people don't. This is pratyaksha praman. You see it, right? Some people accept bhakti, some people don't. Some people receive it, some people don't. So if you have to understand how does one receive the seed devotion, you should be able to explain clearly the ahaituki nature of bhakti, the yadrichaya nature of bhakti, and you should be able to give a reasonable explanation of why only some people receive that seed and some people don't receive that seed. This explanation has to be given. So let's try to understand this. Okay, first let's try to understand where in the shastras the word bhakti is described to be ahaituki. So many verses, you all know these verses. At least most of the verses you all know. Okay. Famous verse. Savai pumsam parodharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaituki pratihata yayatma suprasidate. I will not go through the meaning of these verses. I just want to point out that, you know, wherever bhakti, the descent of bhakti comes, or the nature of bhakti comes, the word ahaituki comes. So let's not go into the meaning, because that we are going to do very soon. Okay. Another verse. Another famous verse. Atma ramascha munayo nirgranta api urukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhaktim ittam bhuta guno harihi. This is a verse which describes the glories of the qualities of the Supreme Lord Hari, that it attracts even the Atma Ramas, the Jnana Yogis and the Asha Yogis, who are completely absorbed in Brahman. They get so much attracted that they perform Ahaituki Bhakti, it says. Whatever it may be, whatever may be the meaning of Ahaituki, but it is mentioned that they perform Ahaituki Bhakti. Another from Kapila Dev's teachings to Mother Devahuti. Kapila Dev describes the nature of bhakti or pure bhakti. He says, Madguna Shruti Matrena Mayi Sarva Guhashaye Manogati Rasena Yata Gangamba Sombudav Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hyudahatam Ahaituki Avyavahita Yabhakti Purushottame. He says, Nirgunasya Bhakti Yogasya Lakshanam. The nature of Nirguna Bhakti, Arshuddha Bhakti, is what? He says, Ahaituki, Avyavahita, like that. Here also the word Ahaituki comes. Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, in the fourth verse of Shikshashtakam, says, Nadhanam, Nanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamva, Jagadisha, Kamaye, मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवतात् भक्तिर अहैतुकी वै ही आल्सो सेस अहैतुकी भक्ति राइट सो मेनी एंड आई डोंट वांट टू गिव एन एग्जॉस्टिव लिस्ट बट आई थिंक आई मेड द पॉइंट सो द वर्ड अहैतुकी कम्स सो मेनी टाइम्स सो इफ यू सी द मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्ड अहैतुकी देयर आर In the Sanskrit language, there are two shades of meanings to this word ahaituki. One, it means a hetu. A is the negative prefix, and hetu means cause. So ahaituki means causeless, right? And ahaituki also means self-causative. Self-causative means what? No other cause. Other than itself. These are the two meanings of ahaituki. No other cause other than itself, which means if bhakti is causing bhakti in someone else, then still that bhakti can be accepted as ahaituki. Even though you cannot call it causeless because you are ascribing a cause, which is bhakti. Bhakti is the cause of bhakti. So it is not causeless. It is self-causative. It is bhakti which is causing bhakti. So self-causative nature. So self-causative nature is also called as ahaituki. Or causeless is also called as ahaituki. So these are the two shades of meaning of the word ahaituki. Okay. So now, let's take the word yadrichaya. We will see the meaning of yadrichaya. So yadrichaya, first we will see where all the word yadrichaya. So 11th canto 20th chapter 11th verse. Asmin loke vartamanah swadharmasto anagah shuchi jnanam vishuddham apnoti mad bhaktim va yadrichaya. Okay. So he says apnoti. One gets mad bhakti yadrichaya. Whatever may be the meaning of yadrichaya, we will see that. We are going to explore it now. So one attains my bhakti yadrichaya. That is the meaning, literal meaning. Okay. Another verse from the 24th chapter, 46th verse of 8th canto. Yadrichayopa srita yam apnuyur vimuktido nah parmo gurur bhavan. So he says, yadrichaya upasrita, yam apniyuhu. One attains Krishna yadrichaya or bhakti yadrichaya, like that. Another verse in the 10th canto, tvat padabjam prapya yadrichaya, it is mentioned. One attains your lotus feet by yadrichaya, right? Another verse, more famous verse in the 11th canto. Yadrichaya mat katado jana shraddhastu yankuman. Na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhita. One can perfect bhakti siddhita. Perfect bhakti yogo asya siddhita. One can attain perfection in bhakti. If one develops faith in bhakti, yadrichaya, he says. Okay. The word yadrichaya comes again. So now the point is, what is this yadrichaya? So if you see, there are a few shades of meanings to the word yadrichaya. The first meaning is yadrichaya means by chance. Yadrichayopapannam swargadvaram apavritam. So yadrichaya means by chance. Okay. Or by luck. Now the question is, luck means, what is the source of luck? One day luck which is generated by piety, or luck which is causeless luck. We will see these meanings a little later. Then another meaning of the word yadrichaya also means by one's dependent will. Yad ichchaya. By someone's independent will, one gets bhakti. Now the question is, whose independent will? One may say Krishna's independent will, or the devotee's independent will, who is distributing bhakti, or the receiving jiva's independent will. Okay, so there are three possibilities. Two shades of meanings: by luck, by independent will, and within that meaning of luck, yadrichaya meaning luck, you have two options: luck generated by piety or causeless luck. And if you take the meaning to be independent will, there are three possibilities. Whose independent will? Is it by the independent will of Krishna that a devotee, that a living entity becomes a devotee, or is it by the independent will of the devotee that one becomes a devotee, or is it by the independent will of the receiving jiva that one becomes a devotee? This needs to be investigated. Okay, so we have two meanings of ahaituki and five meanings of yadrichaya with this, and then you do have not all people are becoming devotees. Why only some people are becoming devotees? With these options, you will have to explain, we will have to understand how one becomes a devotee, how one receives the seed of devotion. Okay. So now we are going to do this exercise. We are going to explore these five options. Okay. What the exercise I am going to explain to you, we are going to explore these five options one by one. Okay. We will explore these five options one by one. And in that, we will try to see whether this meaning of yadrichaya is able to reasonably explain the ahaituki nature of bhakti. And if it is reasonably able to explain why some people receive bhakti and why some people don't receive. That's what we are going to explain. So now I may ask you some questions. So you can keep your chat box open, or you can be ready to raise your hands so that I can unmute you. I may. Okay. And at some point I will pause also so that you can ask some questions and we can have a conversation. Okay. Let's go one option after another option. Okay. Let us take the first option. One receives bhakti by luck generated by piety. Okay. So now the thing is, the question is, okay, person A has become a devotee. Person B has not become a devotee. The question is, why? You may say, oh, person A is lucky. Person B is not lucky. Okay. The very next question is, why is person A lucky and why is person B not lucky? You may say, well, person A is a very pious person, no sinful habits. He's from a very pious family too. But you see this person B, all kinds of sinful inclinations and habits. So person A is lucky because he is pious. Person B is not lucky because he is pious. That's why. Now the question is, we have to see, does this explanation fulfill the ahaituki criterion? Right? Ahaituki means what? Ahaituki means causeless or self-causative. Right? So you are attributing in this, with this expression, you are telling that piety causes bhakti. Okay, piety causes bhakti, which means it is certainly not causeless. Is it self-causative? Is material piety synonymous with bhakti? No. So therefore, it is not self-causative also. So the ahaituki question is not satisfied if you say that someone gets bhakti due to luck generated by piety. This is not true. This cannot be true because the ahaituki condition is not fulfilled. And also, this defies the Shastric conclusion. Let us see. We see in the so many verses, you know, I can go and we can go on and on and on and on and on. So many verses. I will just quote a few verses. You know this verse. Shukadeva Goswami speaks this verse in the second canto. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana sandaya. All these kinds of sinful people, if they take shelter of devotee, they can become purified and they can take shelter of Krishna. So this is what Bhagavatam says, right? Bhagavad Gita says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhat sadhu reva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Even if one is a durachari, he may be addicted to all kinds of ill inclinations. But if he worships me, then Krishna says, I consider him to be a sadhu. Which means Bhagavad Gita says that one who may have a durachari inclinations, which means they are certainly not pious, can still worship Krishna, which means they do have bhakti. So to say that piety is a prerequisite for bhakti is totally incorrect. Okay. So then he says, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Krishna says, after taking up to bhakti, by the act of practicing bhakti, that person can eventually become Dharmatma, pious. So piety follows bhakti. It's not that bhakti follows piety. Okay. And he says, Mam hi partha vyapashritya apisyu papayonaya. It's the word papayonaya here. Right. So it is possible. Tepiyanti paramgatim. They also can attain the supreme goal. Now, if you say bhakti is caused by piety, okay, if you say bhakti is caused by piety, okay, the first thing, the ahaituki condition is not fulfilled. The scriptural condition is also not fulfilled. Now, my question to you is, this is where either you can type, mostly better type in the chat box only, that would be faster. Does this fit your personal experience? How many of you have seen very pious people not taking up to bhakti and very sinful people taking up to bhakti? Have you had this experience? You can share yes or no in the chat box. Okay, Tiffany Mataji wants to share something. I'll unmute you, Mataji. Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I'm sorry, I was just raising my hand to say yes, but yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So practically everyone has answered yes. Not a single person has answered no. Right? So now, that is, this is contrary to our experience also, right? So this also, you cannot say that, you know, bhakti comes by piety and hope to defend it based on your own personal experience, right? Okay, so this can't be true. So we are ruling out the first option. So the first option cannot be correct. Okay. At this point, I will ask for a few seconds to take one or two questions quickly. If there is any question at this point of time, we have discussed one option. Hopefully, after every option, we will pause for some discussion points. Is the subject matter clear till now? Any quick questions or comments till now? Anything? You can please raise your hands. Okay, no questions. So let's continue then. Now, let us explore the second option. The second option is, one receives bhakti by causeless luck. Causeless luck. Person A has taken up to bhakti, person B has not taken up to bhakti. Why? You may say, well, person A is lucky, person B is not lucky. Now my question is, why is person A lucky and person B not lucky? Then you may say, well, that is the nature of luck, right? You cannot ascribe a cause to luck. Luck means lucky. Luck means luck. Yeah. So, is this, you may say that, oh, you are a very lucky person. You never ever ask, oh, why am I lucky? Or when you say, oh, he's so lucky. No one ever asks, why is he so lucky? Luck is luck. You cannot ascribe any cause to it. Luck means causeless. Someone may say, you cannot ascribe a cause to it. Okay. Now, this is the, this is a very tricky choice, right? So now, does it fulfill the condition of ahaituki? Ahaituki means causeless and self-causative. Right? It should be either one. If you say, here essentially what we are telling is, there is no cause for bhakti. Which means basically if you say, causeless luck, which means you are literally calling it causeless. So which means the ahaituki condition is fulfilled. Yes, bhakti is ahaituki with this explanation. Then you have to explain, why do someone get, someone don't get? You can say causeless. You cannot ascribe any cause to it. You see, first condition is fulfilled, second condition is fulfilled. So is this how someone gets bhakti? Is there any other condition that needs to be explored? Because the edricheya is fulfilled. Ahaituki is fulfilled. And then reasonably explain why someone gets, someone does not get. But there is one more point that needs to be considered. What do the Shastras say? You have to explore that. What do the Shastras say? If what this literally means is, if someone gets bhakti purely by luck, then it makes the act of preaching redundant. Irrespective of whether you preach or not, if that person is lucky, he will take up to it. And irrespective of whether you preach or not, if that person is not lucky, he will not take up. So what is the use of preaching? What is the use of spreading the message around? Why would Prabhupada say preaching is the essence? If someone gets bhakti purely by luck, then preaching is a redundant activity, isn't it? And the scriptures should not glorify preaching. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidasyati bhakti mayi param kritva mamevatya samshaya. One who teaches the supreme secret is, he attains bhakti and he attains me very quickly. Krishna says, Nachatasman manishyeshu kaschinme priyakrittama. There is no one who is more dear to me, and there shall never be anyone who is more dear to me than one who is dedicating his life to spreading this message around and helping others becoming devotees. The gopis say, Tava katamritam tapta jivanam viriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinanti ye buridajana. So, the gopis are telling here, Tava katamritam, the nectar of your pastimes, tapta jivanam, they are the real life and soul of those who are suffering in this material world. Kavibiriditam, These narratives are transmitted by learned sages. Kalmashapaham. And they have the potency to eradicate one's sinful reactions. Shravana Mangalam. They bestow all auspiciousness when heard. Srimadatatam. And these narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Bhuvi Grinanti Ye. Bhuridajana. He says, certainly those who spread the message of God are most beneficent. Right? So there is so much glorification of the of practice of bhakti, and there is so much more glorification of those who spread this message to help others take. So if bhakti is caused purely by luck, then why is there so much glorification of preaching, spreading the message around? Because it would be a redundant activity if one gets bhakti purely by luck. So therefore, this may seem to fulfill the ahaituki condition. It may seem to fulfill the yadrichaya condition. This may seem to fulfill, reasonably explain why someone gets and someone doesn't. That's fine. But the point is, this is contrary to Shastric recommendations. Okay. If you consider Shastric recommendations, it does not stand. Right. So, therefore, we reject the second option, that by luck someone becomes a devotee. This cannot be true. Okay. I will pause here to see if there are any quick discussion points, questions, comments here. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. If there is no question, then I would assume that, you know, there is no question. Okay, there is a point here. Bhakti is dormant and needs triggering, and that's where preaching comes into the picture. This is where, this is one of the comments in the chat box. Yes. Which means, as long as it is not triggered, this leads to a whole different discussion. That we will take that. We will come towards the end. It is by self-acceptance, by listening to preaching, one gets bhakti and, of course, mercy of Guru and the Lord. Okay, we are going to explore all these options. Okay. Okay. Now, yes, Mother Gaby.
Yeah, I think I just need a little clarification about what we are doing so far. So far, it seems that we're trying to answer the question why some people get bhakti and or take up the devotional process, have enough faith to take it up, and why some people don't get that faith to take up the process, right? And so,
yeah, I mean, we are just trying to, that's one part of it for sure. But the more overarching question that we are trying to address here is why, how does one receive this seed of bhakti? How does one become a devotee? And in trying to understand that, we are going to one very critical point we should be able to explain is, why is it that only some people are accepting it, and why is it that most people don't accept? Or, I mean, that's a very judgmental statement. I would say most people, they are not practicing bhakti. Whether they accept or they are not given, that is what we are researching right now. But the point is, Why? That's what we are trying to understand right now.
But isn't that what I asked? Why do some people get the faith to take up the process and why some people don't? Because you said there's a distinction between that and your more overarching, you know, point.
Yeah, correct.
Which I'm not getting that.
That question is, how does one become a devotee? So that should essentially answer why some people get and why some people accept and some people don't. So that is the point.
Why?
So
yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it still seems the same. Why some people get what? Why some people get what?
That's another thing that we need to understand. What is it that we receive?
Okay. No wonder that I don't understand.
Yeah, because that is the last point we are going to discuss. What is it that we are receiving actually? Or what is it that we are distributing? But all these questions need to be answered right now. And we are still in the exploring stage. We might have heard before, but we need to understand it in a little bit more systematic way. If we say we are receiving the seed of devotion, what is that seed? And how is it distributed? How is it handled? Is it distributed? Is it earned? How exactly the whole process works? That's what we are trying to understand right now.
Okay. I mean, maybe you want this answer to come later, but my understanding is that the seed is that faith that this process will benefit my life. But maybe that's...
We'll try to I'm not going to say yes or no, because that's a part of my presentation.
Okay. All right.
So we will try to understand that, Madhu, in the presentation. If we ever get to the end of it, we will definitely try to understand.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the second option, we have discussed two options here. One receives bhakti by luck generated by piety. We have rejected it because it does not fulfill any of the conditions. The second option, one receives bhakti by causeless luck. It seems to actually fulfill all the conditions except for the most obvious one, which is it seems to make the preaching completely redundant, useless, which is contrary to the scriptural injunctions. The scriptures seem to encourage preaching always. Why? So which means definitely it cannot be a redundant activity. So therefore, this cannot be true. Now, let's explore the third option, which is by one receives bhakti by Krishna's independent will. This is the easiest option to discuss. Does one receive bhakti by Krishna's independent will? We are going to discuss this, right? Now, the question is, person A is a devotee. He has become a devotee. Person B has not become a devotee. Now, the question is why? Why person A has become devotee and person B has not become a devotee? The answer is, you can say, Krishna's independent will. Krishna desired that A becomes a devotee and B does not become a devotee. If that's what you will say, now the question is, why did Krishna choose only A to become a devotee and not B? That question arises. Right? So then the Shastra says in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshosti Na Priyaha Ye Bhajanti Tu Mam Bhaktya Maite Teshu Chapyaham. Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to all living entities. Name Dveshosti Na Priyaha, I do not hate anyone. I do not specially love anyone. But he says, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. But if one worships me with devotion, mai te teshu chapyaham. I give myself to him. So Krishna clearly indicates that I am a little bit more inclined towards a devotee. But here we are trying to discuss about two personalities, A and B, who both of whom did not have devotion before. And at some point, A became a devotee, but B chose not to become a devotee. B did not become a devotee. So now if you say, A became a devotee because Krishna wanted A to become a devotee. So, which means Krishna is no longer equal. Right? But Krishna says he is equal to all. And when someone becomes a devotee, Krishna becomes more favorable to him. That is a whole different thing. But here we are talking about two people who did not have devotion, who were not devotees. So Krishna is to be equal to all. That's what he says. That's what he claims. So if you say one receives bhakti by Krishna's independent will, then you are practically making Krishna very, you can say, haphazard in his bestowal of mercy. No reasonable condition for mercy. So Krishna says, no, I am equal to all. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. So this cannot be true. One cannot receive bhakti by Krishna's independent will. Of course, this is a very, this can be a misleading statement, because then the question arises, is Krishna's mercy not involved in receiving mercy, in receiving bhakti? No, Krishna's mercy is certainly involved. But is that, does Krishna's mercy decide where to flow? Does Krishna decide where his mercy will flow? No. Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am equal to all. I don't play favorites when it comes to, at least till the point where someone takes up to bhakti. I don't play favorites. I am equal to all. So it cannot be true that one receives bhakti purely by Krishna's independent will. Okay, at this point, I will again pause to see if there are any quick discussion points, questions, comments. Anything anyone would like to share as add? Yeah, there is a comment by Gail Mataji here. Pure luck also seems to lack compassion from Krishna. I mean, well, not just lack of compassion, it lacks, you can say, any kind of reasonable credibility also, it makes Krishna completely whimsical. So which means we are totally dependent on a whimsical God, who states that your happiness depends upon your surrendering to me, and your surrendering to me depends upon my mercy, and my mercy you may get, may not get. So which means, what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to do anything, right? Ultimately, if Krishna's mercy is there, I'll become a devotee. If Krishna's mercy is not there, I'll not become a devotee, right? So this makes Krishna very whimsical and a very non-attractive personality. So this is not true. Any quick comments here? We have till now discussed three options and have rejected all three. Okay. Something in the chat box. Past births also contribute to progression in bhakti. Here we are not talking about progression in bhakti. We are talking about beginning bhakti. So if past birth we have already progressed to a particular level, and in this birth we may progress from where we left off. That is a whole different thing. That's a whole different topic to discuss. But we are not discussing from that point of view. we are discussing how does one receive the seed. Okay. Yes, Mother Gail.
I just need to review. So far you said we've rejected three reasons why for how a person gets bhakti. One is pious, because we already said piety.
Yeah.
And now we're rejecting
Krishna's independent will.
Because that means he would be partial, right?
Yeah.
And then the
second is costless luck.
Okay.
Costless luck. Yeah. Cannot be costless luck. Right.
I thought we said that one. Causes luck, piety, and his independent will. Okay.
And Krishna's independent will. These are the three options that we have discussed till now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So now let's explore the fourth option if there are no further discussion points or questions. We generally, in the first three, there is not much discussion. So the real discussion starts in the fourth, and the actual discussion, starts in the fifth option, actually. Now let's explore the fourth option. The fourth option is by the devotee's independent will, by the distributing devotee's independent will. Okay. So now you may say, person A has become a devotee, person B has not become a devotee. The question is why? You say, person A received by the independent will of the devotee. So devotee desired that person A gets, so he got. Devotee desired that person B does not get. He did not desire that person B get, so he did not get. Okay. Now we immediately run into the same problem, actually. If you say why someone gets bhakti while others don't, and if you say due to devotee's independent will, then the question is the devotee partial then? Can the devotee be partial? Now the question is, this is where we need to explore. Krishna is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnibenevolent, all-loving. He is omnipresent, present everywhere. Right? But is the devotee omnipotent? No. Is the devotee omnipresent? No. Is the devotee omniscient? No. Is the devotee omnibenevolent? Yes. Definitely. Possible. Okay. So, when you say a person who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent, and omnipresent, which is Krishna, if he chooses to give bhakti to someone and chooses not to give bhakti to someone else, then it can only be due to partiality. He is partial. But when a person, like a devotee, a sadhaka, who is neither omniscient, nor omnipresent, nor omnipotent, only omnibenevolent, he wants the whole world, sarve jana sukhino bhavantu. He wants the whole world to become devotees. That's all. But is he capable? This question arises. Right? So therefore, I see a hand up, but I will, when I pause, I will take the question. So therefore, when a devotee chooses to, a devotee has limited time, limited lifespan, limited energy, limited skill set, limited linguistic capability, right? And so therefore, definitely with the available skill set, time, energy, lifespan, linguistic capability, he or she will try to channelize that desire to spread Krishna consciousness only to a particular class of people, but people in a particular geographic location, particular gender, particular ashrama, particular country. It's not that they don't want other people to become Krishna conscious, but it is just their capability, that's all. Right? Some people are professors, so they may focus on sharing it with students. Right? Some people may be doctors. They may try to encourage their patients. Is it that doctors don't want students to become Krishna conscious? Is it their partiality? No. It's just practicality. It's just practical, right? From practical considerations, a devotee cannot, a single devotee cannot reach out to the whole world and hope to make them Krishna conscious. So for practical considerations, he has to focus his energy and time on particular class of people, or some may just have sufficient time and energy to focus on their own family members. That's all. Are they partial towards their family members? No, this is just practical. They see that, oh, these family members already have trust in me. They already have affection in me. They are already willing to hear from me. So I might as well share some subject matter about Krishna and inspire them in Krishna consciousness. And that's all. That's the time that I have. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they are actually partial. So when a devotee, especially a madhyamadhikari, as Bhagavatam says, Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvishastucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakkaroti sa madhyama. This is expected of a madhyamadhikari. He loves Krishna. He has a very friendly disposition towards the devotees. He feels very compassionate towards the innocent living entities who can potentially take up to bhakti. And he stays away from dveshi. Dvishatsu upeksha. So, therefore, when a devotee chooses to share Krishna with someone and not with others, it is not due to partiality. Whereas when Krishna decides to give bhakti to someone and not to someone else, it has to be due to partiality. Right? So you cannot make the you cannot criticize the devotee for being partial if he does to focus his time and energy on a particular class of people to share bhakti. Okay. So, I know a hand is up, but I will cover a little bit more portion and then we will open it up for questions and discussion. So now, the problem with partiality of devotees is should not be considered, because it's more for practical considerations that a devotee may choose to share Krishna with someone and not with others, right? So now, is this ahaituki? So you can explain why someone does not get, because the devotee chooses to give it to someone and not to others. Fine. Then is the devotee partial? No. Devotee is not partial for practical creation. Now, does this fulfill the ahaituki criterion? Ahaituki criterion means, you can say ahaituki means causeless and self-causative. So here what we are claiming is independent will of the devotee is the cause of bhakti. This is what we are claiming. So now you have to see, does this fulfill the ahaituki criteria? So If you are saying that the independent will of the devotee is the cause of bhakti, this is certainly not causeless, because you are ascribing a cause to this. Now, we have to explore this option, self-causative. Is the independent will of the devotee synonymous with bhakti? This is something that we need to explore. Because you are telling someone becomes a devotee because of the independent will of the devotee who is sharing it. Now the question is, this has to fulfill the Ahaituki criterion also. So the question is the independent will of the devotee synonymous with bhakti? Let's try to explore this. Okay. So the devotee's will to preach, where does he get the desire to preach? It is born out of compassion, right? As again, we say, Tavakatamritam Tattajivanam Kaviriditam Kalmashapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinanti Ye Bhurida Jana. Bhurida means magnanimous, compassionate. That's why they are sharing. So their desire to share, their desire to preach, their desire to distribute devotion is coming from their compassion. Right? Now the question is, then, is compassion synonymous with bhakti? Because we are trying to understand the self-causative nature of bhakti. Is compassion synonymous with bhakti? Well, not really. Because even non-devotees are seen to be compassionate. Sometimes the devotees are not seen to be so compassionate also. So you cannot say compassion is synonymous with bhakti. So does it mean this is not self-causative? Let's see. Now the question is, where does the devotee get his compassion from? Where does he get his compassion from? What does Bhagavatam say? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatyakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manoratena sati dhavato bahihi. Yasya asti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Yasya asti, where that is present. Bhagavati akinchana bhakti, unalloyed devotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. In such a person, all good qualities automatically manifest, including compassion. So therefore, when we say independent will of the devotee causes bhakti, the independent will is coming from compassion. And compassion and all other qualities are coming from his practice of bhakti, which is there within his heart. Therefore, eventually bhakti is causing bhakti. So therefore, it is self-causative. See, bhakti is causing compassion. Compassion is causing the independent will of the devotee to preach, and that causes bhakti. So with this explanation, even though at the immediate look of it looks like this is neither self-causative nor causeless, but if you explore further, you can ascribe the cause of the independent will of the devotee to preach to compassion. And you can ascribe the compassion of the devotee to be caused by his own practice of bhakti. So it is bhakti in the heart of the devotee which is causing bhakti in the heart of the receiver. So bhakti is causing bhakti. So this is self-causative. So in that sense, the Ahaituki condition is fulfilled. Right? So, therefore, and of course, there are so many other verses, you know, to prove that the devotee's compassion is born out of his practice of bhakti. This is another verse from the Padma Puran, which says, Yenarchito haristena tarpitan jagantyapi rajyanti jantavastat jangamastavara api. Yenarchito haristena. One who worships Lord Hari, he is pleasing to all the living entities of this world. And all the inhabitants of this world are pleasing to him, which means he becomes very attractive. He develops all the good qualities which are very attractive to people of this world, right? So therefore, you can say, if you say someone receives devotion by the independent will of the devotee, this fulfills the yadrichaya condition. Okay. So the yadrichaya condition is fulfilled. Yadrichaya means independent will. Independent will here refers to independent will of the devotee. The ahaituki condition is also fulfilled, because you can reasonably explain how bhakti is self-causative. It is bhakti in the heart of the devotee which causes compassion, compassion which causes his independent will to preach, and that independent will to preach gives bhakti. So bhakti is causing the, so the ahaituki condition is also fulfilled. And you can reasonably explain why someone gets and someone don't. You can explain it. Okay. And this also is shastrically cogent. You don't seem to the shastras don't seem to object to such a presentation. Okay. But there are some problems here. We will discuss those problems. But before that, I see two hands up. We will first hear from the devotees, and then we will take it forward. Yes. Harita Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhu, my question is that until a person gets bhakti, is he a devotee?
No. I mean, that's something that we need to understand. I mean, if someone does not get bhakti, then what defines a devotee? Presence of bhakti defines a devotee, right? Bhakti makes one into a bhakta. If one does not have bhakti, then how can he be called a bhakta? Right? Is that relevant, Madhuri?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu. So ultimately it's like our self-acceptance, right, Prabhu? Like listening to preachings and to the scriptures and to various, and also the mercy of Guru. That's what I feel like we get the bhakti from. That's how we become a devotee.
Yeah, we are exploring it, Mataji. We will come there. We are still exploring. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Mother Gail.
Yeah, Prabhu, I just need you to repeat this logical flow of how it is that the compassion of the devotee is causeless. Because as you were saying in the beginning, right, there are people who have compassion but do not have bhakti. So it went a little fast for me how we got from there to, yes, the compassion of a bhakta is causeless, or something like that.
Now, I said the compassion of a devotee is born out of his practice of bhakti.
Okay.
Because practice of bhakti gives all good qualities, compassion being one amongst them.
Uh-huh.
So bhakti causes compassion. Compassion causes his independent will to reach out to other innocent souls. And that act of reaching out to innocent souls is causing bhakti in others. So therefore, ultimately, it is bhakti causing bhakti. Bhakti in the heart of the devotee causing bhakti in the heart of the receiving jiva. So this is self-causative. Bhakti causing bhakti is self-causative.
Okay, so, all right. So, and the reason is because bhakti causes compassion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, if there are no further questions, as of now, it looks like this is the Yadrichaya condition is fulfilled, the Ahaituki condition is fulfilled, you can reasonably explain why someone gets and why someone does not get bhakti. And this also seems to be shastrically cogent explanation. But then the question that arises is, therefore, anyway, before we even go to that statement, therefore, the statement that one receives bhakti by the devotee's independent will is not incongruent to the Ahaituki and Yadrichaya nature of bhakti. That's what we saw here, right? But the question is, if you say that someone is receiving bhakti by the independent will of the devotee, now my question is the devotee acting independent of the will of the Lord? Right? This question arises. Now, if you say yes, then is he a devotee? Because devotees are not supposed to act independent of the will of the Lord. They are supposed to align themselves with the will of the Lord. That's what defines a devotee. If you say that a devotee is acting independent of the will of the Lord, then is he a devotee? No. Now, if you say no, he is not acting independent of the will of the Lord, then ultimately, is it the devotee's will or Krishna's will? Because the devotee is aligning himself with the will of Krishna. So ultimately, if it is Krishna's will, then again the problem is Krishna is partial. Right? So this is where we seem to hit a roadblock here. Till now, everything seemed quite all right. It seemed like, you know, someone gets devotion or bhakti by the independent will of the devotee seemed quite all right. But the problem is, if you say someone becomes a devotee by the independent will of the devotee, now the question is the devotee's will independent of even Krishna's will? If you say yes, there is a problem. If you say no, there is a problem. If you say yes, then a very basic question, is he even a devotee? Because only non-devotees try to act independent of the will of the Lord. They try to act, but no one can act independent of the will of Krishna anyway. So either Krishna will directly control them or through Maya he will control them. No one can act independent of the will of Krishna, but the desire to act independent of the will of Krishna is what defines materialistic people, atheistic people. A devotee is supposed to align his will with the will of Krishna. So if you say a devotee is acting independent of the will of Krishna, he's not a devotee. If you say no, he's acting according to the will of Krishna, then ultimately it is not devotee's will. It is actually Krishna's will only. Then again the problem of partiality comes. Right? How do you reconcile this? Anyone would like to share your thoughts? How do you reconcile this? Anyone? This seems like a deadlock, right? You know, how do you... Okay, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji.
Prabhuji, I don't know if my answer is right, but I just want to try. So Prabhu, yes, devotee is not acting any independent against the Lord. Devotee is acting the will of the Lord. Devotee is just being an instrument for the will of the Lord. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Well, so if he is acting as the instrument, then who is using that instrument?
Can you come again, Prabhuji?
Who is using the instrument of the devotee? The devotee is the instrument. Who is using the instrument? Krishna, right?
Yes.
So, devotee is whose instrument? Krishna's instrument.
Krishna's
only,
instrument. Na? Yes. God, Krishna's instrument.
Then ultimately, someone becomes a devotee due to Krishna's will only. Na? It is not due to independent will of Krishna, independent will of the devotee. Right?
Yes. Yes, Prabhuji, you are right.
Then that again gives the problem of partiality of Krishna, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay. Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, what comes to mind is Veda, Veda, Tattva.
Oh, you say Achinta Veda Ved. Whatever you don't understand, put it in the Achinta Veda
no,
Ved.
No. No, because the reason I say that is because, yes, although the devotee is never acting against Krishna's will, he, because of this Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, he does still maintain his independent will, you know?
Okay.
And because of that, he can exercise that will, you know, for the sake of giving bhakti to others without being like a robot for Krishna. You know, there is we're individuals, you know, even though we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're individuals. And individuality means that we have, we can take initiative, you know, in a way that's not robotic, you know? And this is how I'm bringing in this Achintya Beta 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 Tattva.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. So I thought I saw one more hand, but still, okay. Okay. Yes, dear Govind Prabhu.
It's a question of free will, Prabhu.
Question of free will. Okay. Now, of course, free will. Free will, independent will is the same thing. Now, the question is the devotee using his free or independent will, independent of even Krishna's will? That is the question.
It must be free, because that is called free will. Otherwise, it's not a free will.
True, but the devotee has the choice to align it with Krishna or not, right?
Yes, it should align with Krishna's will.
Yeah, but if he is aligning it with Krishna's will, then what it essentially says is, you know, Krishna desired, so he gave it to someone. Krishna did not desire, so he did not give it to someone. So it would eventually create the same issue of partiality of Krishna. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I see a few more hands up, but I think we are running short of time, so I apologize for not taking all the opinions. So let's see what, there is something magical which is going to happen here, okay, which is going to resolve this. And this is not Achintya, as Mother Gail said. This is very much understandable. Let's see what Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes. So he says, this is from Madhurya Kadambini. He says, but one should not conclude that since the devotee is dependent on the will of the Lord, the devotee cannot initiate the bestowal of mercy. See, the devotee is dependent on the will of the Lord. That does not mean that the devotee cannot initiate the bestowal of mercy. For the Lord willingly becomes subservient to his devotee and gives preeminence to the devotee's position by granting him the power to bestow the Lord's mercy. Swakripa Shakti. The Lord says, what you are going to distribute is my mercy, but I give you the distribution rights. You don't have to ask me. You decide whom to give, and my mercy shall flow. So Krishna is protecting the devotee from getting embarrassed for not following Krishna's will. Krishna says, I give you the permission, distribute it to whomever you want. Now it's resolved. So Krishna is not directly intervening on whom it should be distributed. And at the same time, the devotee is not acting independent of the will of Krishna, because Krishna has given that permission to the devotee, right? So he says, though as Paramatma, he simply oversees the affairs of the jiva's external senses, which are the reward of his past activities, the Lord personally shows special mercy to his devotees by giving them his own independent power to bestow mercy to others. Krishna says, you take it, you distribute it. Whomever you want shall get bhakti. So therefore, there is no problem with, there is no problem here as to the Lord being partial, or the jiva acting independent of the will of Krishna, or the devotee acting independent of the will of Krishna. There is no issue. Krishna has given it. I have become subservient to you, my dear devotee. You take it and distribute it to whomever you want. Right? So, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, only by his bestowal of mercy can one attain his eternal spiritual realm. This mercy is manifested in the Lord's bestowal of his own Kripa Shakti to his devotee, who then gives it to the fallen souls, as previously explained. So, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. So, Guru's mercy comes through the devotee, and Krishna's mercy is what is being distributed. Bhakti is Krishna's Shakti, a part of his Antaranga Shakti. So bhakti itself is Krishna's Shakti. Okay. And it is distributed by, the distribution is done by Guru Kripa. Because every devotee is a representative of the Guru Tattva. Guru Krishna Prasadepaya Bhakti Lata Beej. So that Bhakti Lata Beej is Krishna Shakti. Krishna Kripa. And the distribution is done by Guru Kripa. That is how Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Right? So now comes a more fundamental question, which is the devotee distributing bhakti? If you say yes, then what does it mean to distribute bhakti? If you say no, then what exactly is he distributing? This is the next discussion. I want you to throw some light on it. Think about it and share your thoughts. What is it that the devotee is distributing? Now that we have understood that it is the devotee who is distributing, what is he distributing? What exactly is he distributing? I want you to, okay, Mother Gail.
He's distributing the opportunity to perform devotional service, for example, giving a person a chance to chant, to come and see to the temple to see the deities, you know, to read Prabhupada's books, for example. Opportunities. Mm-hmm. He's distributing opportunities to perform.
He's giving opportunities to perform bhakti.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling, right?
Yes, yes.
Is there a prerequisite to this?
Is there a prerequisite for what?
Is there a prerequisite for performing bhakti? If I give someone an opportunity to perform bhakti, will someone perform bhakti? Okay, you can think about it, Mataji.
Why will the person accept that opportunity you're asking?
My question is, if you just give an opportunity for someone to perform bhakti, will he perform bhakti?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah. So that's why I'm asking.
Distribute prasadam and they distribute books. And give them lot of love, so they feel comfortable to come in the environment of bhakti and then they will not perform right away.
Perfect. This is exactly where I am coming to. Perfect. Thank you very much for sharing. Mataji has perfectly answered. The point is, Gail Mataji was perfect, spot on when she said opportunity. And Shyamagauri Mataji was spot on when she said opportunity to develop some appreciation towards bhakti. We can't just directly give opportunity to perform bhakti. Because bhakti is performed. It is called bhakti only when performed with conviction that this is right. I need to do it. So you have to create it. How do you create it? You create it by giving them an opportunity to appreciate things, people, places, etc., 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 connected to bhakti, so that slowly over a period of time, they actually take up to, they get an appetite to practice bhakti, they get their faith in practicing bhakti, and then they practice bhakti. So, thank you very much for sharing. So actually, is the devotee distributing bhakti? No. Then what is he distributing? He is distributing an opportunity to appreciate. He is distributing an opportunity to develop some appreciation towards bhakti so that he develops some faith to practice bhakti. That's what the devotee is practicing, distributing. Okay. So, therefore, it is mentioned that in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Shila, Rupa Goswami says, Yak kenapi atibhagyena jata shraddhosya sevane nati sakto na vairagya bhagasyam adhikaristo. The person who has developed faith in serving the Lord. How does one develop faith in serving the Lord? Kenapi atibhagyena. Kenapi, somehow or other, ati bhagya means fortune. What is that fortune? He says, impressions arising from previous association with devotees. This is what is called as agyata sukriti. So agyata sukriti means, you all know this, agyata sukriti means when someone appreciates something connected to Krishna, not knowing that it is connected to Krishna. Or they may even know that it is connected to Krishna, but they may not know that by doing it, they will also get Krishna bhakti. They don't know that. Like for example, when you distribute prasadam, as Shyamagauri Mataji shared, when you distribute prasadam, people may appreciate it because it's so exquisitely cooked and so lovingly served. They may not know that it is connected to Krishna, but they may appreciate the person who is serving. They may appreciate the prasadam that is being served, not because it is prasadam, but because it's fulfilling their need, either physically or emotionally. And they feel so grateful and they appreciate that gratitude and appreciation towards something connected to Krishna generates that agyata sukriti. And that agyata sukriti accumulates over many lifetimes and matures into what is called as, what we are now calling as seed, which is faith, shraddha, jata shraddha, faith. Faith means what? Faith means faith in the process of bhakti. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Right? Faith means faith in the devotees. Oh, these are the people with whom I wish to spend my life, who can elevate me in my spiritual path. Faith means faith in the books, Bhakti Shastras. If I take shelter of these books, practice according to the teachings of these books, I can progress. Fourth, faith means faith in the parampara, Guru Sishya parampara. This disciplic succession of Guru Sishya, they are not here to cheat me. They are here to catch hold of my hand and take me to the lotus feet of Krishna. This faith develops over many lifetimes of accumulation of Agyata Sukriti. In the episode of Narada Muni in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes 14 stages. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamsudha talks about 9 stages. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur unzips a few more stages. Even Rupa Goswami starts with Adav Shraddha. It starts with faith. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, no, there are 2 more stages before that. Of course, Shraddha defines the onset of bhakti. Before one gets Shraddha, one cannot be called as a devotee. But how does one get that Shraddha also? It starts with Satam Kripa. When a devotee becomes mercifully disposed, compassionately disposed towards others, that person. And then Mahat Seva. He engages that person in some service according to his liking in order to create that appetite. Some service could be, it could even be prasada seva. So give him some prasadam, appreciate him. And this, when he engages in that, it leads to appreciation, which leads to accumulation of Agyata Sukriti, which matures into Shraddha over a period of many lifetimes, actually. This is how one gets. So, and this is what is called a seed. So, we are not even distributing seed. We are actually contributing one small raw material for that seed. So if we go preach to someone and they become devotee, we are not the cause of that person becoming a devotee. We are like the last straw that broke the camel's back. Like they say, a camel was moving and it already had, the capacity of the camel is to carry 100 kilograms. And it already had 99.5 kilograms on its back. Okay. And you are carrying your half a kilo handbag, which you decided, oh, the camel might as well carry that additional half a kilogram also. So you put your handbag on the back of the camel. Suddenly the camel's back breaks. And you think, oh, maybe camel's back broke because of my bag. Is it true? Yes. But did it break only because of your bag? Absolutely not. There were about other 99.5 kilograms there already. So our preaching is like that. We can create an opportunity, but no one becomes a devotee. No one receives the seed of devotion, which is faith, by just that one opportunity. Someone else has actually not someone else, many other people over many lifetimes have already done their part. Okay. So someone actually collects the ingredients, right? Someone collects the ingredients, someone makes the batter, someone pours the batter into the baking pan, someone puts it in the oven, someone takes it out, someone does the icing. Someone writes the names. And the last person comes and puts the cherry. And can he say that this cake belongs to me? He cannot. Right? So there are so many people who are involved. So similarly, sometimes you may touch and say, chant Hare Krishna. And the person may start chanting Hare Krishna and he may become a devotee. But does it mean that you have made him into a devotee? Not necessary. Generally not, actually. Unless he is someone extremely empowered, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or sometimes even Srila Prabhupada, like that. So, anyway, so And we see this in the episode of Narada Muni. I will not get into this. So this brings us to the end of fourth option, which seems like a reasonable explanation that one receives devotional service by the independent will of the devotee. And what is it that we are distributing? We are distributing an opportunity for that living entity to develop some appetite for Krishna consciousness. So we are not distributing the seed of devotion. We are one of the, we are playing a small role in distributing that seed. But that seed is a conglomerate of many favorable agyata sukritis accumulated over many lifetimes, which is what it becomes a seed in the form of faith. So if we understand this meaning of preaching, then all that we can do is actually to create opportunities for someone to, just like a piggy bank, you know, you have piggy bank. You know, you can drop your one rupee coin, right? That's all we can do. That is what, we cannot make devotees. We can contribute to helping that person take one step forward to becoming a devotee. We cannot make devotees. Okay. Any quick comments? Gail Mataji.
I was just wondering if, when it comes to agyata sukriti, right, if a person who is not a devotee has an appreciation for some manifestation of Mother Nature, like a beautiful, gorgeous sunset or the Himalayan mountains, you know, something wonderful in nature, he has an appreciation of that, and he connects that to God. Would that constitute a agyata sukriti?
Well, if he appreciates, if he is connecting it to God and he says, how wonderful is God's creation, right? Then it's, he already has faith in bhakti then. Because he is able to connect it to Krishna. It may not be the seed of pure devotion. It can be mixed here and there with many other understandings. But certainly it is some form of devotion. You can say some mixed seed which needs to be cleansed a little bit so that it can become pure.
Yeah, but everybody starts out, right? Before they take up the actual bhakti yoga process, wouldn't everybody be in that category?
Not necessarily. It can be. So that's why you cannot say that it can be some. So sometimes the mixture can be heavily, you know, it can be 1% bhakti somewhere and 99% some hodgepodge. So it could be anywhere. So you can call it mixture. Mix. You cannot call everything mixed devotional seed. Because like you say, if you take a cup of water and add a glass of water and add 1 spoon of salt, what would you call it?
Salt water.
If you take a cup of salt and sprinkle some water on it, what would you call it?
Watery salt.
Yeah, you would call like wet salt or moist salt, right? So one you are calling water, another you are calling salt. Even though it's both are a combination of water and salt, right?
Yeah.
That's like that. So therefore, you know, ultimately, as Prabhupada writes in the preface to Nectar of Devotion, that, you know, even the aborigines, when they offer respects to the mountain or the sun, which is something very fantastic, Prabhupada says, where is the desire to offer that respects to the mountain or the sun coming from? Prabhupada says, deep behind their layers of conditioning is that Krishna Prem. And that, when passes through the layers and layers of conditioning, gets perverted into various ways, and but still manifests in the form of offering respects to the mountain and sun and things like that. So yes, you can say, but then we have to define what would you call a seed exactly. We are talking about pure devotional seed.
Okay. Thank you, Baba.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share, add? Okay. I will leave a short suspense here. I am not going to discuss this fifth option, but this is a very critical discussion. I will try to plug in somewhere else in my later presentations. What about the will of the receiving jiva? Does it play a role at all in one becoming a devotee? This is a very important discussion. But this is not, we are already over time. I don't want to discuss it right now. But yes, but this needs to be discussed. This is a very critical point. But at this point, I will stop and wait to see if there are any final comments, discussion points, questions before we wind up. I will just, okay, you can now unmute yourself and then you can speak. If there is something that you might want to share, you can please share.
Can we take a vote as to whether you should finish this topic now?
Well, I'm sure devotees have other other commitments. I have time. I have time, but other devotees have commitment, and you know, the organizers, they can take a call, and I'm okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Dhanur Pranam. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnas Kairat Goswami says, Nitya Shuddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karayitai. So it's already there.
And it's already there. Exactly. So now the question is, okay, now this opens up. It is already there. Is it received? Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktalata Beach. This is also Chaitanya Charitamrita only says.
Yes.
And at the same time, the same Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Kare Udai. Now the question is, what exactly is the seed that is received if Krishna Prema is already there within the heart?
To do Shravanadi, Prabhu.
Exactly. Sadhana Bhakti is the seed. The sadhana is the seed. The sadhya, the goal is already there. The goal is already there. Prema is there. But how do you access that prema? You access that prema through sadhana bhakti. How do you, why would you practice sadhana bhakti when you have faith in practicing sadhana bhakti? So that faith in practicing sadhana bhakti is actually the seed. But the tree that will manifest out of that seed, that is already there. It is in the heart. So, yeah. Is that okay, Madhavi? Prabhupada does explain it in the purport of that very same verse. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Kare Uda. If you read the purport to that verse, Prabhupada explains what is that. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhaktilata Beej. In that verse, he explains what is that beej. That beej is actually sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti is received, whereas prema bhakti is there already.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we don't have words to thank you, Prabhuji. Every time you come, you don't give one food for thought, but you open up a trail of thoughts and you help us, you know, whatever the gray areas in bhakti or the discussion, you point it out. I mean, you take it part by part, analyze it and give us such a clear understanding of that. So I don't have words even to thank you, but really, really very, very, I don't know, fortunate only. We don't deserve at all, but just fortunate to have your association, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
I mean, none of it is my analysis, Mataji. It is all there. If you all are wondering where I presented all of this from, it is directly from the book Madhurya Kadambini by Sri Vaishnava Saraswati Thakur. None of it is my own presentation. I am just repeating what is there in that book. So if at all, the true recipient of all your gratitude and appreciation is Ardi Acharya, actually.
Thank you, Prabhu. But the fact is, you know, we can read the book Madhurya Kadambini, but we wouldn't get the points until you explain it. You are explaining from the book, but there is a gap between us and the book, and you bridge the gap. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay, anything else? Yes, Stephanie Mataji, you can unmute yourself and speak.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As Ali Tangi Mataji just said, I'm always so grateful for your classes. You clear up so much for us. I really appreciate you explaining exactly what that seed is. It clears up so much. And I just want to clarify one thing. In order for Sukriti to qualify as Agnata Sukriti, there has to be appreciation there. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Just wanted to clarify
Hare
that.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Anything else before we wind up?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. It was such a wonderful class, Prabhuji, as usual, with all your presentations. Prabhuji, you were saying about the Agnata Sukriti, right? So that means, like, if the non-devotee, like you were discussing now, if the non-devotee says that it's a good food, then also he is getting the Agnata Sukriti, or when he praises the Lord, only he gets that.
Good food. Because if he praises the Lord, then he already has bhakti. Otherwise, why would he praise the Lord?
Okay. Fine, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was such a wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you know, I have to ask, you know, this Agnata Sukriti, how do we recognize when it's pure? You know, whether it's just wet salt or salty water?
Agnata Sukriti is Agnata Sukriti. If there is anything connected to Krishna, which someone is appreciating without seeing any connection with Krishna, that is Sukriti.
Yeah, but you were saying that is sometimes it's mixed, sometimes it's pure.
Oh, okay. There is no mixed Agnata Sukriti, and either it is there or it's not there. So, if someone is appreciating, let me explain, Mataji. If someone is appreciating something connected to Krishna, so that they can get some piety out of it, then all they get is piety. They don't get Agnata Sukriti. So for Agnata Sukriti to be Agnata, there must not be any ulterior motive. It cannot be mixed. So if one thinks that, I take this prasadam, and by taking this prasadam, I will get some piety. I want to get some piety for which I am taking this prasadam. With that mood, if someone takes, what they will get? Will they get Agnata Sukriti? He says, no. They will not get Agnata Sukriti. They will get actually only piety. So Agnata Sukriti is received. Krishna will give the benefit of doubt to the person. If he is taking it without having any understanding of what it's going to do to him, then Krishna gives the benefit of doubt. I will give you bhakti in return for your appreciation. I will give you some raw material for bhakti in return. But someone asks for piety, Krishna says, you ask for it. I'll give you what you ask for. That is piety. Take it.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. So I think we should pause here because we have really gone way beyond time. So, but I promise that I will take the last point, which is a very critical point. We need to discuss it. This is very, very critical. But the answer is there. Essentially, the answer is that just that we have not explored a very critical option. What about the free will of the receiving jiva? That needs to be discussed. We will do it some other time. So, thank you all very much for your patient listening and your very enthusiastic participation. I really appreciate this association and eagerly look forward every time. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful classes. Really very interactional class, Prabhu. We really appreciate and we look forward for your association again and again in the future, Prabhu. As all Mataji said, we really enjoyed this spiritual talk, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Let us pay our businesses to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatarupya.
Thank you, Prabhuji.